welcome into another episode of Light the Lamp. I'm Alexis Downey. As the summer continues on, we're getting closer to the NHL draft. So who better to have on this week than a draft expert, senior draft writer for NHL.com, Mike Morial. Mike, great to have you back.
Great to be here, Alex. It's always fun to talk NHL and especially the NHL draft, something that's been a passion of mine since 2008, since I came aboard on NHL.com. So always happy to discuss the top prospects of tomorrow.
I was going to ask, how long have you been covering prospects at this point? But you just mentioned 2008.
Yeah. When I got the job in 2008, came in, was at the All-Star game. The All-Star game that year was in Atlanta, believe it or not. It was the following year in 2009 when I started attending the drafts. And then the following year, they put me in charge of all the draft coverage as a writer that would, you know, kind of put together stories on all these prospects that are going to be, talked about and mentioned. And it's been a pleasure. I mean, to go through a season of amateur seasons with Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews, and then see how they've developed in the NHL over the years has been really special. And it's kind of neat too, when you go into the locker room and they do know you from the years when they were 17, 18 years old. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. You get to see their whole journey from the beginning stages to now. Definitely probably very special for you. Now, part of the journey is the combine, which just happened last week. It would have been, as we're recording this now, always in Buffalo. It has been as of late. But what was this year's combine like? Anything in particular that stood out?
The combine was great. There were 90 players that did attend the combine. I thought, you know, as far as the testing goes, some players did a lot of the testing, all the testing. I thought, you know, Roger McQueen from Brandon is a player that I think was paid special attention to because he had suffered a back injury and he was out for all but 17 games this season for the Brandon Wheat Kings. So he was a player. And backs are a little bit funny. So scouts and obviously general managers that were there wanted to question Roger about how he's feeling. And he did all the testing and went through the gauntlet there, had a lot of interviews that week. So good for Roger McQueen and what he was able to do. And maybe he boosted his draft status a little bit more than it was with the injury. Matthew Schaefer, of course, the projected number one pick in the draft. He only played 17 games this year because of the shoulder surgery that he had after the World Junior Championship in Ottawa in January. But Matthew is such a delightful kid to talk to. Real special player on the ice. He's really into his family. He had so much tragedy in his life the past 2 years, Alexis. He lost his mom to cancer in 2004. 2 months later, he lost his billet mom to an apparent suicide. And then he had mononucleosis the first 9 games of this season, couldn't play. Then he had the shoulder injury. Erie Otters owner, Jim Waters, a dear close friend, and a mentor to Matthew, passed away while he was at World Juniors. So he's had to deal with a lot, but he's gotten through it. And it's amazing. You talk to the kid, just his character and how he wants to help people. And he's a grieving counselor now for young kids that are going through the same things that he went through. So a real special kid off the ice and as well as on the ice. But overall, I mean, I thought the combine ran exceptionally well, as it usually does. The town of Buffalo does a great job there, and it's almost like a little campus, because you never even have to go outside. you go to KeyBank Center for the interviews, you go to Harbor Center for the testing, and everything is indoors. So it was fantastic, but it was a well-run week, for sure.
Did you hear of any questions in particular that were a little different this year? I know that always ends up coming out at some point, the odd questions that are asked.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of the prospects are kind of privy to what's going on with the questioning that these days. The animal question by the Montreal Canadiens is one that's always brought up, and the prospects did mention it. They said, yeah, you know, we were given the animal one. I said I was a wolf. I said I was a lion. There were a few interesting ones in there. Another one was, what personality trait do you feel you possess that would prevent you from playing in the NHL? Mm. So that's one that the kids kind of had to think about a little bit. And then there was one of the prospects that told me that you're sitting in a car with your swim trunks on. It's 100 degrees in the car, really hot, and you're headed to the lake. As soon as you get to the lake, you can either sprint or jump right in. Or are you the type to put your foot in the water and just kind of test the temperature of the water? So that was, I don't know how I remember that because it was just unique and funny. But some of the questions are still there, but I think the kids are now becoming accustomed to, you know, answering them well and answering in a way that's team oriented.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Always hearing those different questions and how they can pertain to what's actually happening on the ice. Who knows? But that's, you know, for them to figure out. In looking ahead to these next couple of weeks, it's the first decentralized draft. How does that change your job?
Well, I guess it's going to be interesting because there's not going to be general managers, or I'm not sure if there might not be a lot of scouts there as well. Mm-hmm. They're going to send some, I guess, TV teams over, a few TV teams. But the fact that the general managers aren't going to be there, you're not going to see them mingling together on the draft floor. Usually when you see two speaking to each other, hey, you know, so-and-so is talking to so-and-so, there could be something come forth with a trade or something of that sort, but we're not going to get that. Now everything's going to be over the phone in their own cities. So it's going to be different from previous events, moving to a decentralized format. The NHL is going to invite 100 prospects to attend the draft, the executives, the coaches, and I'm pretty sure scouts won't be able to attend for the most part. And this will be the second time the draft is held in Los Angeles. They hosted before in 2010. So it's going to be interesting. One of the interesting byproducts of having a decentralized draft is how much impetus was put on NHL team execs and the agents to get their face-to-face time at the combine. Mm. So you saw a lot of them mingling at the combine because you're not going to get that at the draft as you normally would. So that being said, Alexis, we could see a lot of movement, a lot of trades, as Anaheim and the Rangers did recently.
Yes.
Before the draft actually happens on the 27th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how it kind of changes the draft potentially this year. And if this is something that the NHL decides to stick with moving forward after they try it out this year. And talking a little bit more about the draft, you already talked quite a bit about Matthew Schaefer, the consensus number one pick in this year's draft and everything that he's been through. But what sticks out about the side for him of on the ice and, you know, what he could bring to the Islanders who have the first overall pick?
Yeah, what I would say and what I have said to a lot of people when they ask me about Schaefer is how many number one defensemen, really good number one defensemen, are there in the league right now? Mm-hmm. I can tell you there are not 32. Is it 16? Is it 25? I don't know. What I do know is that Schaefer's someone who can take over a game from the back end. He recognizes what skill he needs to utilize to make that happen. Sizes up opponents as good as anyone I've seen. And there was something interesting that general manager David Brown from Erie did tell me. He said that he remembered former GM Sherry Basson talking about Connor McDavid in an interview back in 2015 before McDavid was drafted. And I know they play different positions, McDavid's a center and Schaefer being a defenseman. But it was almost similar to what they are now saying about Schaefer. He had the ability to make plays before the plays happened. He knew where pucks were going, knew what he was going to do once he got the puck on his stick. His instincts the vision, the IQ and awareness were all off the charts. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of sums up the type of player that Schaefer is when you're talking about the player on the ice and why the Islanders should probably take him with the number one pick, because it's very rare to get, like I said, a number one overall defenseman who we feel is going to be an NHL all-star, a perennial all-star in the NHL.
When you do look at the top prospects for this draft, having a defenseman there, and then there's a lot of centers. So how is this draft kind of compared to maybe recent drafts, you know, very, very heavy on the forward emphasis, defenseman? Where's that at?
Yeah, I would say you're looking at a draft that is center heavy, which is good because we can all use centers. And there's a few righties in there as well. And forward wise, it's deep. You know, after Schaefer, who I think is probably the favorite to go one, there's a couple tiers, like 2 to 6. You have a Michael Misa, Caleb Desnoyer, Anton Frondell, James Hagans is in that mix, Porter Martone. That's in that 2 to 6, 7 range, Alexis. So I know Anaheim's picking at 10. So those are some players that I think maybe Anaheim won't have a chance to grab. But then you come to like the 6, 7 through 13, 15 range. And there are similar players, similar traits. There's some pretty good defensemen in that range that could eventually be like a number 3, 4. Some, if they're good enough, a number 2D, like forward Jake O'Brien, a center, big centerman. Victor Eklund, a wing. Roger McQueen, who we talked about at the combine, passed the testing. Brady Martin, a big, strong player in that range. And then defenseman Radim Mertka. From Everett in the Western Hockey League, big rangy defenseman, goes about 6'6", 215. And the interesting thing about Radim Mertka is the fact that he recently just really began playing hockey seriously. He started playing at the age of 14. Wow. And here we are 3 years later. He's number 5 on NHL Central Scouting's final ranking of North American skaters. Big guy, played in Czechia to begin his career, then came over to Everett Seattle this past year, really came into his own and what he was able to produce. But there's that tier of 6 to 13 players that Anaheim has could have a chance to draft here.
In your mock draft, you have Brady Martin going to the Anaheim Ducks at 10. What about him do you see fitting in with the Ducks?
Yeah, I like Martin because he's, like I said, he's that big, strong player, right-handed shot, goes about 6'1", 178. He complements a power forward game he has a great work ethic. He's really intelligent in the offensive zone, relishes that play in the trenches, and is the type of player who'll kind of make an impact in clutch situations. I know the Anaheim organization, since Pat Verbeek has come in, has liked those bigger, stronger players in their system. And Brady Martin, to me, kind of fits that bill. He's, 72 points. He had 33 goals this year, was on the power play. He scored 3 shorthanded goals. So he was in on the penalty kill as well in 57 games for the Sioux this year. So definitely, Brady Martin is in that mix. I know my colleague, Adam Kimmelman, has Victor Eklund going to Anaheim at number 10 from Djurgården in Sweden's second division. Another good player. He plays right wing, goes about 5'11", 161 pounds. He stands out with his high-end skill, and he also plays a physical-type game. And little different than his brother, William Eklund, San Jose.
I was wondering the connection there. Yeah.
Yes, there is. That's his brother. And when I did ask him, is there a difference between you and your brother? He said, well, I'm the more physical player of the two. Mm-hmm. So I guess he has that. And you know what? We don't know what Anaheim's going to do, but if they did draft Victor Eklund, this could be a rivalry going on for many, many years.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And we never seem to know what the Ducks have up their sleeve because last year, what was your reaction to seeing Beckett Seneca picked so high up in the draft?
Yeah, I was right there with everyone else. I was kind of shocked. I had Beckett Seneca going top 15 in the mock draft, but mm-hmm. certainly not that high. But look, he's a talented player. The Ducks knew that if they weren't going to take him there, they weren't going to get him. So, you make the pick and you're happy about it. And obviously the Ducks got a sensational mm-hmm. player. Beckett Seneca is going to be a real nice player in the future, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. As far as the central scouting rankings for international skaters, one thing that kind of stood out to me on the international side was 7 of the 10 top skaters on that side are all Swedish or in the Sweden league. So it may be an area that scouts are looking a little bit more at this year.
Yeah, well, it fluctuates. There's turnover every year, and last year was a down year for the Swedes. And this year it's a good one. And you know, in addition to the two we mentioned at the top, Anton Frondell and Victor Eklund, Milton Gastrin is another Swede, big Swede. He's number 3 on the list. I spoke to him at the combine. Another player who performed really well internationally. A real good leader in what he does, what he brings to the ice, good size player, a lot of skill. And again, these players, I think Anton Frondell, who's number 1 on the list, he compared his style to Alexander Barkov, and Eklund compared his style to Travis Konecny of the Flyers. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see, these players being able to watch the NHL and have these comparables. So this way we have a good idea what they might look like. Now, of course, you watch the video, as much video as you can, and you see these players internationally, of course, but it's a lot of fun. And yeah, Sweden is definitely going to be a country that we're going to see maybe make, have a big impact in the first round this mm-hmm. year. I think it was a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we had 7 or 8 Swedes taken in the first. And this year may challenge that mm-hmm. or come close to it, Alexis. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Mike, is there anything or is there any other player that maybe is kind of a dark horse to you that could be selected higher up?
Yeah, one of the kids that's probably one of the most intriguing of the class. He played football in high school and hockey. His name is Mason West. He played at Edina High School in Minnesota. On the gridiron, he was an all-star, did it all in 3 years. He's entering his senior year. I did ask him at the combine, what he intends to do, what he intends to focus on. And it's going to be hockey, of course. You saw him at the combine. So we were all expecting him to say that. But the interesting thing is that he is going to play football for his senior year. He says he wanted to be there with his teammates to play one more season on the gridiron. He's a quarterback and really good at what he does. I was watching video of him on playing football. But yeah. Hockey-wise, exceptional player. He's a big player, but goes about 6'6", 215 pounds.
Wow.
He was selected in the 5th round of the 23. USHL futures draft, and he does play for Fargo, and he did play 10 or 11 games with Fargo last year. And he told me after his football season in the fall, that's where he's going to go. So probably you look in December, he's going to go back to Fargo and try to improve his game even more. His best asset is probably his shot. He's got a real heavy shot from the coming down wing or going down the middle of the ice. He thinks he's a natural center. But it'll be interesting to see where he goes in this draft. I don't have him going in the first round, but teams with multiple picks, there's always that chance that maybe teams with 3 picks like the Flyers or the Nashville Predators may want to consider a guy later in the first round, or he gets moved to the second round and just see how his development goes. But Mason West is a player I would keep an eye on.
It's really interesting in the sense too, because you always hear about baseball and hockey, but never really football and hockey. So
yeah,
wow, that's very impressive on his end too.
Yeah, and the New York Islanders forward Anders Lee did the same thing, and he actually played at Edina. He played football, and he took the same route. And now we know how he's a captain with the New York Islanders. Yep. Anders Lee doing it all, and actually Mason West and Anders keep in contact.
Oh.
I did get a chance to talk to Anders about it and the advice that he gave Mason. And he said, just go with your heart. If you want to play your senior year, Mason was a little concerned about what scouts, what GMs might think if he's going to play his senior year. Because let's be honest, there's always that chance for injury. Mm-hmm. But when I spoke to a lot of the scouts, some of the GMs, they said that there's no worry at all because Mason West is a player that's trained for football. He knows what he needs to do. If it were a player that just said all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to try to play football my junior or senior year, and I never played it before, then there might be some concern. Mm-hmm. But this he's trained for football, mm-hmm. knows nutrition, knows the weight room. So he'll play football, and I don't think there'll be any question. He'll be a high draft pick somewhere, I think probably early to mid second round. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike, we're looking forward to this year's draft, and certainly the Anaheim Ducks have a number of picks again to add to their deep prospect pool at this point. And thank you for joining us today. Always great to catch up with you.
Thanks, Alessis. It's always a pleasure.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.